Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome once again to Reformation of the Ummah. We thank our Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla for another opportunity and chance. Since time is of the essence, dear viewers of Madani channel, I should mention that tonight's topic hits close to our homes. It's about something subtle yet deadly. And guess what's that? Tale bearing and tale bearer. So this is gossip, carrying tales, adding fuel. And you see, not every fire begins with hatred, dear viewers. Actually, sometimes it starts with curiosity. A little whisper. What's the whisper all about? Hey, did you hear what she said or did you hear what he said? And before we know it, homes are collapsed, hearts are broken, and friendships turn into ashes. Allahu Akbar. And the hardest part is that it's not always the outsiders, dear viewers. Sometimes it's the very people we confide in, the ones we thought had our back, who add that drop of poison into the cup. May Allah Kareem protect us. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help us. Our discussion for tonight is about adding fuel to situations, whether through exaggeration, and deliberately causing a problem for people to break apart. You know, there are many, many stories like this, dear viewers. Let me share something little, very small. There were two friends that argued over something very minor. One borrowed money and the other delayed in repayment. So a third person, claiming to just help, went to each one of them and twisted words just slightly. And Allahu Akbar, within days, those best friends became enemies. Years later, when they found out the truth, but the trust was gone forever. Allahu Akbar. So that's the reality of adding fuel. It doesn't just burn bridges. It turns memories into smoke. May Allah Kareem protect us and help us and aid us in this matter. For the Quran Pak, which is the guide for the rest of the world, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned guidelines in the Holy Quran Pak, and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned beautiful ahadith to guide the Ummah, to save us from gossiping, backbiting, tale-telling, so on and so forth. So think for a moment. Sometimes people say, you know, I don't gossip, I just share information. But come on, if it wasn't your story to tell, it's gossip. It is a gossip. Allahu Akbar. So viewers, think about this, inshallah, azabajallah. How many times have you forwarded a message, probably a screenshot or a voice note, before even verifying it? We've all been guilty of this, including myself maybe. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, to help us unpack this beautiful discussion that we have tonight, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, joining us once again, my dear friend, co-host and respected scholar who needs no introduction to the airwaves of Madani channel, Maulana Ziyad Madani Hafidhahullah. He's been a pillar of guidance, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, helping us reform the soul and rebuild the Ummah. Alhamdulillah, let us commence with the opening greetings of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sayyidi, let's jump straight into this deep and important discussion. Marhaba. As the viewers of Madani channel are also waiting, mashallah. Maulana Sahib always adds beautiful Madani pearls to the silsila. I was just going to say fuel.
I thought you were going to say Maulana Sahib adds fuel to the fire.
Allahu Akbar. Well, that's our discussion for tonight, yes, Sayyidi. A topic not to be missed. I would think that, you know, many homes out there, as I mentioned in the introduction, are broken, are damaged, many hearts are shattered. And as I said, Maulana Sahib, many a times due to the own people, our own people that we may trust or confide in, you know, assuming that this person has got my back.
Right.
But unfortunately, that person who you assumed had your back never have your back. So can Maulana Sahib, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, in the very beginning, perhaps maybe define what's namima, you know, tale bearing itself, right? And what comparison this has with backbiting itself in the teachings of Islam.
All right. Important discussion, mashallah. See, firstly, Munasab mentioned with regards to those we assume have our back, and whilst in reality they might not have our back. Actually, sometimes it's not their intention not to have our back. They just think that, well, I also want to get involved in some sort of entertainment, some sort of gossip, some sort of tea, as they call it in today's time. Little did I realize just recently I've learned that this gossip and tale-bearing is actually called tea, as a fancy term in today's time. What is gossip? What is this tale-bearing that we speak of? Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he is a great scholar of hadith. He has mentioned that tale-bearing is to convey one person's words to another person. Convey one person's words to another person whilst intending harm by doing so. So the very purpose behind it, the very intention behind it, even though it might just be in the subconscious mind, not necessarily in the conscious mind, but it is there, that I want to cause some fitna, I want to cause some harm, I want to cause some rift, some difficulty, some problem between people. Thus, I'm carrying this person's story to the next person. And it's not always a bad story. It's not always a bad story. It's not always something very negative about a person. But as Mulana Sahab mentioned, that if it's not our story to tell, then it's tale-bearing. Why are we telling other people's stories? Why should you take one story to someone else? And backbiting, on the other hand, very closely related, but not exactly the same thing. Backbiting is when you mention something about a person which would hurt that person if that person heard it. That's so if that person heard it, then that person would feel bad about it. So that is backbiting. For example, if someone is calling someone else a very short or ugly or something of that sort, or a lanky person, very tall person. Now, if you are sharing that sort of information, yes, it might be true. But unfortunately, you are mentioning such a thing behind the person's back, meaning not in their presence. And if that person heard it, then such a person will feel bad about it. That is gossip. Whilst tale-bearing, on the other hand, there could be plenty of examples. You know, it could be just someone has some intention to do a certain thing and they're keeping it to themselves, but they mention it to you. They confided in you. This is the subtlety of tale-bearing, of telling tales, of carrying tales, is that the person who mentions it to you is often confiding in you. Therefore, it's someone that's close. And when you take that story and you share it with the next person, that is tale-bearing. Perhaps the person might have just told you that, you know, I'm planning to change jobs. I'm planning to change my city. I'm going to move from this city to another city, but it's still in the planning phase and I'm still going to work on it, etc. But I'm just sharing it with you. Please don't tell it to someone else. Now, this is not something that is really negative about the person.
Right.
But if we're going to take that story and go to someone else and say, I have some tea for you, I have some story for you, let me just share this with you. You know what? So-and-so told me this, but please don't say that you heard it from me. It's just via the grapevine. Please don't tell anyone this. This is carrying tales. Just think that if this person wanted for the next person to know, wouldn't they have said it themselves? But if they didn't mention it themselves, perhaps they don't want that person to know. And therefore, they didn't share it with everyone. So that which is mentioned to you in private, but you take it out to the next person or you take it to the public, this is now tale-bearing.
That is tale-bearing. Wow, what a definition, Mawlana Sahib. And now we have understood the difference between tale-bearing and backbiting itself. Alhamdulillah, yes. Rabbil Alameen. And we have more questions to ask our beloved Mawlana Sahib, inshallah, azza wa jalla. But for now, we have a beautiful, heart-touching, and heartfelt kalam that's going to be recited by Mahmood At-Tari Hafidhahullah.
Mashallah.
Let's listen to this kalam, inshallah, and when we do return, we shall continue with our discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Dil ko sukoon chaman mein na hai laal azar mein sozo gudaz hai faqat unke diyar mein sozo gudaz hai faqat unke diyar mein dil ko sukoon chaman mein na ya mustafa Mustafa bunaiye apne diyar mein sarkaar aao taiba ke phir la सरकार आऊं तैबा के बाके फिर लाल अजार में दिल को सुकून चमन में ना हर सालिया इलाही मुझे हज नसीब हो हर सालिया इलाही मुझे हज नसीब हो जब तक जीऊं मैं आलम ना पाए दार में जब तक जीऊं मैं आलम में ना पाए दार में दिल को सुकून चमन में ना हर साल गाजरी हो मदीने की खैर से हर साल गाजरी हो मदीने की खैर से हर साल काश आऊं मैं तेरे दियार में हर साल काश आऊं मैं तेरे दियार में दिल को सुकून चमन में ना अफसोस घटती जा रही है रोज जिंदगी पर मैं दबा ही जाता हूँ इसी आके बार में दबा ही जाता हूँ इसी आके बार में तुझको हसन हुसैन का देता हूँ वासिता तुझको हसन हुसैन अल्लाह मौत दे मुझे उनके दियार में अल्लाह मौत दे मुझे उनके दियार में दिल को सुकून चमन में ना बदकारों नाबकार का ईमान या नबी बदकारों नाबकार का محفوظ رکھنا آپ کے ہے اختیار میں محفوظ رکھنا آپ کے ہے اختیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا کرتے رہو یہ حق سے دعا میرے بھائیوں عطار کو دے موت نبی کے نبی کے دیار میں سارا اندھیرا دور سما ہوگا نور نور سارا اندھیرا دور سما ہوگا نور نور جب وہ آئیں گے تیرے مزار میں عطار جب وہ آئیں گے تیرے مزار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا ہے لالا زار میں سوز و گداز ہے فقط ان کے دیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا
Who is a true devotee of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Such an important question where each person can look into himself and either find out that is he a true devotee of Allah and His beloved Habib Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or not. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, whoever likes to know whether he has devotion to Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he should determine how much he loves the glorious Quran. So to be a true devotee of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to be a true devotee of His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who has love for the Holy Quran, the one who acts upon the teaching of the Holy Quran, most importantly, a very important thing, such a thing that each person must look into himself. This is a very important point. Every person must look into himself and ask himself. Remember, ask your heart. Your heart will never lie. Ask your heart, do I know how to recite the Holy Quran properly? Is my tajweed correct? Is my way of recitation correct? Am I following the rules and regulations of reciting the Holy Quran properly? Ask your heart will never lie to you. If your answer is yes, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you and actually gave you permission to recite the divine scripture, the Holy Quran. And if your answer is no, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't think that you are worthless, because Allah Azza wa Jal has still given you the chance. Your breathing is showing you that Allah has given you another chance. Allah is giving you the chance to go to madrasa, to go and learn the glorious Quran recitation properly. Your tajweed is not up to date, go to a madrasa. Madrasatul Madina is open if you are an adult, an elder. Madrasatul Madina Balighan is open. Get yourself enrolled in these courses because life is short. Today we don't know how to recite Quran, for example. Today we don't know how to recite Quran. But Allah gave us the chance now. Enroll yourself to learn the proper pronunciation of the glorious Quran. Now for those people who have already recited the entire Quran, recite the Holy Quran, but try your best to not just read the translation of the Holy Quran, but also read the tafsir, the commentary of the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, the Holy Quran's translation is available in Urdu, is available in English. Likewise, the commentary, the tafsir is mentioned, is available in Urdu, is available in English as well. So no person can complain that there is a language barrier. Allah Azza wa Jal has made things very easy for Ummat Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one should learn the Holy Quran. One should learn the proper rules and regulations of how to recite the Holy Quran. And most importantly, read, understand what you are reading. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran every day. And may Allah Azza wa Jal enable us to understand the translation and the tafsir of the Holy Quran. Ameen bijai nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu lal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Masha Allah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We hope that after listening to the kalam recited by Mahmood Attari as well as the Madani pearls given by our Muballigh Da'wat Islami Muaz Attari Hafidhullah, mashallah, you have enjoyed both these sessions, dear viewers. We are now back, mashallah, with our program Adding Fuel, dear viewers. Just before the program, Maulana Ziyad Madani Sahib, mashallah, had given us the definition and the difference between tale-bearing and ghiba, which is backbiting. And mashallah, very beautiful explanation Maulana Sahib has given. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is the teachings of Islam, dear viewers. In fact, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi ta'ala has narrated that tale-telling is to mention something about someone to the other people with the niyat of harming that person. With the niyat of harming. So you take the story from one person to the next with the intention of causing problems. Mm-hmm. The intention was there, Maulana Sahib, and this is the definition of tale-telling. And that is to conveying someone's matter to another person in order to cause turmoil amongst people. However, dear viewers, alhamdulillah, this is our deen, our religion, Islam. Subhanallah, we learn that listening to someone's conversation and relaying it to another person with the intention of creating conflict and argument amongst them is called tale-telling, and this is haram. Islam has guided us on this matter, subhanallah. What a peaceful deen is this. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful religion we have to follow. All the problems we face in our families today, many of them are caused because of masala, added fuel, dear viewers. This epidemic is prevalent in our society today. Muslims of the past had the passion of respecting Muslims embedded into their hearts. Alhamdulillah. And every Muslim used to protect the dignity, honor of their brothers and sisters. But Allahu Akbar. Nowadays, hatred has spread all around instead. Every home has now become a battlefield due to the amount of tale-telling we involved ourselves in. Those who used to claim to sacrifice their lives for each another, those who used to protect each another's dignities, those whose friendships and unity were examples, dear viewers, those who would not bear to listen to a single word against the next person. Where are those lovers? Where are those people that were ready to sacrifice everything for each another? So it is actually shaitan that causes hatred between two people. It is actually shaitan that tries to cause enmity, and shaitan is the one who places the grudge in the heart that a person cannot forgive his Muslim brother and sister. Allah Kareem, save us from this fitna, from this disease, from this problem of tale-telling. It is something that if it is any person, it's so hard to give it up. As Maulana Sahib mentioned now, it's tea time. Tea time means that we're going to sit together and we're going to sit and gossip. We're going to sit and discuss as to whose matter was what and
from there it all starts, dear viewers. May Allah Kareem have mercy on our souls. Maulana Sahib, I really appreciate the way you have given the answers to the first question. Maulana Sahib has answered, alhamdulillah. Another very important question, right, since we are living in the modern era, right? It's called the digital world.
Yes.
And in this digital world, Maulana Sahib, you know, conversations are exchanged with screenshots, with personal chats, with voice notes, as we do, as we see, right? So are these things in the modern age considered as tale-telling?
Well, they can be. They can be considered as tale-bearing, and at times it might not be considered as tale-bearing. For example, if someone has given you a message and asked you to pass this on to the necessary people, let's say, for example, in a work environment, that a certain person gave you the message and it was for you to also relay that message, and you know that they wouldn't mind that you use their exact words in sharing that, then it's not a problem. So you could find, let's say, someone who is responsible for a certain area or a certain department or certain field, and that person has then shared a message to their subordinates and you are sharing it with the rest so that they are all on par, then alhamdulillah, this isn't a problem. But when it comes to people's social lives, when it comes to people's personal lives, and someone mentions something to you regarding their personal life, regarding their personal work, etc., and now we take that and we share it with someone who pretty much has no business to even know that. It does not concern them at all. But now we are sharing the screenshot of what that person told me. We are sharing the message, that forwarded message from so-and-so person. See what they mentioned. Really, they are going through these difficult times, etc., etc. Once it really has nothing to do with the next person's life, then this too is tale-bearing, because tale-bearing is carrying the words of one person to another person with the intent of causing harm.
Right.
So this is still, although it's not the verbal words, in today's time we don't only have the verbal way of tale-telling. We've come to, our society has become such that now you actually have a textual way, a way of sharing, carrying tales via text as well, because people tend to communicate in text messages, they tend to communicate in voice messages, etc. So instead of you just sharing their words using your voice, now you're sharing their words using their own voice, and you are sharing their words via their texts to other people. And if it does not concern the next person, and we are just sharing it so that other people get to know the difficulties, the goodness, whatever it be in the next person's life that they would have not really wanted to reach the to reach other people, then this is tale-bearing. However, let's say, for example, we are speaking now on Madrin channel, alhamdulillah, is our viewers are viewing as well. And if our viewers hit the share button in order to share this program, this will not be considered tale-bearing. Why? Because we tell you, please share it. This, we want this message to reach other people because this is a means of guidance for the ummah. Alhamdulillah. So this does concern other people. We'd like for you to share it so that others may learn and you may be the means of other people learning just by sharing. However, if it had nothing to do with people's lives and it was just to cause harm with bad intent, that someone was sharing someone else's conversation that was not to be shared, then that would be considered tale-bearing.
Acha, Maulana Sahib, on the same note, right?
Right.
The question is, what drives people to tale-telling? Is it like, is it insecurity? Is it boredom or something spiritual like jealousy?
Actually, it can be all of the above in different cases, right? Many times it is insecurity.
True.
Reason being that people don't feel as confident regarding themselves. And therefore, when they sit to speak to someone, then in order to find a common topic, something that both parties may enjoy and they can start speaking for some time, they tend to pick on someone else or to speak about someone else's life. Because the person who's telling these stories knows that the other person is going to be influenced by Shaitan to listen to the story as much as the speaker is influenced by Shaitan to tell the story. So this person is not feeling very confident about themselves to bring up actual good content, and therefore they are taking content from other people's lives. They're actually stealing content, which is not recommended. At the same time, many a times it is boredom because in today's time, people love drama. We've come to a day and age in which drama is something that people are prepared to pay for, Maulana. They are prepared to pay for. Alhamdulillah, we are so blessed that we have Madani channel, which is a means of us learning the deen. But many people are prepared to pay for channels to pay for channels just because the channel offers them drama. And they tell them outright that I'm offering you drama. We are offering you drama. People are prepared to pay a price because they want to hear the drama. They want to hear what the next person said. They want to know what's happening in someone else's life. You get people, paparazzi they call, you know, many a times within the media that follow certain celebrities' lives and share their personal life with everyone else. Some which could be their fans and some which could be their haters as well. But they are sharing people's personal lives. This is on a large scale tale-bearing. This is gossip, but all over the media. And these are things that we're supposed to refrain from. But what drives people to listen to these things and to follow these things is boredom. They are bored with their own lives. They're tired of seeing the same thing over and over again in their own lives. And they lack creativity to make their own lives interesting, and therefore they're thriving off other people's personal matters. So boredom plays a major role. And if boredom is what's driving anyone towards tale-bearing, even listening to gossip, then it's time to, you know how they say, it sounds a bit harsh, but people say get a life, that you yourself need to do something interesting in life. Do something that involves your thought, your mind, and your heart in your own life so that you are not interested in what everyone else has to say about other people's lives. And yes, most definitely, it is spiritual as well. Because tale-bearing, whether it be sharing the gossip, sharing the tea yourself, or listening to the gossip, lending an ear to the gossip, all of this is promoted by shaitan. Mm. Shaitan thrives off it when other people are gossiping about each other, when other people are telling tales and listening to other people's stories, other people's personal lives, and gaining joy from that. And, you know, in igniting hatred in the hearts of those who were and are perhaps close, but very soon shaitan knows that this is going to tear them apart. So definitely this is a spiritual problem that we need to seek the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to, and we need to combat shaitan head on and tell shaitan that, oh shaitan, this is your trick and we are not going to fall for it.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Dear viewers of Madini channel, Allahu Akbar, what beautiful insight Mawlana Sahib has given us. SubhanAllah. So if you hear something bad about someone close to you, I'm asking the viewers a question. Do you confirm, confront, or convey? Allahu Akbar. Be honest with yourself. What would you do? If you found a person speak bad about someone else, about you, somebody came up to you, or if you hear something bad about someone else close to you, will you confront, convey, or will you confirm the situation?
I think, Munasab, the confirmation and the confrontation is what most people avoid. That I need to actually confirm this. That means I have to ask the person outright, and that person's going to ask me then, where did you hear this from? Then I'm going to be exposed that I am lending an ear to someone speaking ill about you. So all these people tend to move away from. They don't want to confirm it, because they're going to have to confront the situation. But instead, it's very easy to convey it. Mm. If you're going to convey it to the next person, then the next person's naturally going to be interested in what you are saying. Why? Because shaitan is driving them the way shaitan drives us, to tell others about someone else's story. And therefore, people move towards directly conveying the message. However, this is not what Islam teaches us. Islam does not teach us this. Islam teaches us that if something bad comes, yes, firstly, you could have husni dhan about the person and say that this I don't want to believe it's true. But if it's troubling you, you can confront the person to confirm that really, is this what you said? Really, is this what you did? Maybe the person didn't do it at all and didn't say it at all. And the next person, the person who carried the tale, will be proved a liar. Or maybe the person did do it, or they did say it, but there's an explanation to it. There's a background to it. There's a context to it, which we are not understanding when we're hearing it from a third party. The third party just wants to break us apart. So you want to hear the background, you want to hear the context, confront. Confront the person that, is this what it is? Confirm it with them. And then when we understand it from their glasses, from their eyes, agreed, when we stand in their shoes, then things will make sense, inshallah. And if they did wrong, there you are. You can just tell the person that, please, do make tawbah from this and let's not do this.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. My concern, Ya Sayyidi, is that perhaps there could be hundreds of people right now who are lingering or they are between whether should I confirm or confront.
Right.
There are many people who are bitter with their own friends because the third person came and put some words in their heart or in mind about the third person. So as Maulana Sahib has given the cue, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, do not think what's going to happen. The right thing to do is, if there is a misconception, you will either accept or either you will remove it. Yani find a solution to work around it.
Yes.
If there is a situation, a person should confront.
Yes.
And after you confront, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, then you should find a solution to remove the problem.
Absolutely. Maza, while we're on it, I just want to also share a tip with myself, ourselves, as well as the viewers of Madini Channel. If someone is telling tales, right? Let's say a tale bearer comes to you and they're telling you stories and they're telling you tales and you just feel that, you know, if I'm going to tell them something, we might cause an issue. Let me just hear the story out. Remember that even just feeling like, okay, I won't say anything to anyone else. I'll just hear the story out. This is also a trick of Shaitan. Why? Because Shaitan made you lend an ear to it. And once you get to know all of these inside stories, then Shaitan will drive you to find someone to mention it to. Then you become a talebearer yourself. You are one who listened to the gossip and one who's going to spread the gossip. You want to put a stop to it? Here's a simple, beautiful way of being able to put a stop to this. Right there, as it came, make sure you are the last link. Nobody else is coming after you. The person who's carrying the tale and comes to you and says, so-and-so person said like this and they did like this and this is what their life is like, etc. You just tell them that really, is it like this? Let me go and confront that person. Since we're speaking of confrontation and confirming, let me go and confront this person and confirm that really, is it like this? Immediately that person will say, please, please don't confront. Why? Because they'll say, where you got to know it? Then I'll tell them that it is you who said so.
This is one of the common cases, Maulana Sahib. Many a time,
you put a stop to it.
Yes.
And this person will be scared to tell the next person because their name will come out.
Their name will come out. And many a times, people who are the tale bearers are the ones who will step back.
Yes.
And they will say, just as you said, Maulana Sahib, there's no need to call. It's fine. You know, I don't want to be involved. It's because they were told not to tell at times, you know. But many a times, it's the problem is that there are many daughter-in-laws out there who know that my mother-in-law does this, for example.
Right.
There are many mother-in-laws out there who know that my daughter-in-law does this, you know. Many a times it's in the secret behind closed doors. The whispers are so loud that the walls can also hear, you know. And then the mother-in-law wants to know, but why she's acting so funny towards me? It's because she heard what you said.
Yes.
And sometimes the fear is, if I'm going to confront her, then she's in a to a tantrum, you know, it happens like that, Yasayyidi, or whatever the case may be. Al-aman wal-hafiyub. To all those people out there who are talebearers, gossipers, people who like to add fuel, there's only one thing I can say. Wattaqu yawman turja'una fihi ila Allah.
Allah, Allah.
Fear that day in which we all have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah. We should fear because fearing that day, the ulama ikram have explained, Ya Sayyidi, which day? They have said that day in which the angel of death will come and extract your soul, your body will be washed, shrouded and buried. Fear that day. Fear that day when the skies will be folded, when the sun will be just a quarter mile above our heads, when we all are going to be resurrected for the day of judgment. Fear that day. And as ulama ikram have very beautifully explained, Ya Sayyidi, that death alone is a very good advice.
Absolutely.
The best advice. Yani, if all of us can start fearing that one day, all gossips of the world will stop, all problems of our families will come to an end, all this corruption that we see in society, within the families, and in around the world, nationally, internationally, all of those problems will come to an end because every person will fear that one day I have to face my Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. Allah Kareem also says in another part of the Holy Quran, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ
Allah.
That the reckoning of the people is near and they have turned their faces in negligence.
Mm.
This is the condition of people, that we have turned our faces in negligence, yet the reckoning is around the corner. The final hour is just there. Because of this long hopes that we have, we tend to just pass time. As you said, tea time means I'm so bored, there's nothing else to do. So let's sit, let's have a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and that's a sign itself. Let's go on. However, Ya Sayyidi, there are people out there who perform salah five times namaz, perform how many umrahs during the year, they perform hajj, they give charity and zakat. The question is that from a spiritual point of view, what effect does namima, tale-bearing, tale-telling have on a person's heart And together with that, his ta'alluq and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ah, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. See, tail-bearing is actually from amongst the major sins. And what do these sins do to the person's heart? Actually, we learn from a blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a person does sin, he gets a dark spot upon his heart. And the more the person sins and they sin and they sin, the heart becomes covered in darkness. And when the heart becomes covered in darkness, then no good words and no good advices even affect that heart anymore. So you find that this person who has involved himself in so much of wrong, in so much of tail-bearing, in so much of sins, this person's heart becomes dark. Now when you even advise this person, then this person can't take to their advices anymore. It kills the spirituality. You might think that I'm still performing my nawafil, but you lose the joy of the nawafil. I'm still reciting the Holy Quran, but I'm not feeling the taste of the Holy Quran. You know, the for such people who have covered their lives in sins and covered their tongues in sins and then went to use the same tongue to recite the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, we should recite the Holy Quran. But you find that the effect of the Quran Sharif is not passing below their throats, that it's stopping right there. It's just upon their tongues. And that is because they have covered their heart in this sin. And they are trying to join and mend their relationship with their Rabb, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst through namima, through tale-telling and gossiping, they have broken relationships between the servants of Allah. That the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning the people, are now fighting between themselves. They are now fighting amongst each other because of them having carried tales between the people. And such a person thinks, I'm going to now mend my relationship with my Rabb. It is important for us honorable viewers as well that we mend the relationships within the people as well, between the people, that we are not a cause of breaking relationships, rather we are a cause of mending relationships. And when we do so, we'll earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we'll taste spirituality within our ibadat. But if we're going to break the hearts and the relationships of the servants of Allah, then understand, how is it that via this cause, one is now intending to, assuming that he or her will mend his relationship with his or her creator.
MashaAllah. Beautifully said, Mawlana Sahib. Alhamdulillah. Now comes the next question, and very importantly, right? What practical steps can a person take in order to stop tail-bearing? Because many a times people are in environments where gossip is so normal, Ya Sayyidi.
Yes.
There are corporate roles out there. And sometimes if you're not part of the clan, then you are outcasted.
Right.
If you're not going to be sitting and gossiping, then they're going to throw you out of the table, you know?
Right.
So what practical steps can people take, Ya Sayyidi?
See, one is that we need to first stop ourselves from lending our ears. There's some different steps. I'd say the initial part of it is stop yourself from lending your ear to gossip. That if you hear gossip, if someone comes to you to tell a story, then you be the last link, and be the last link in such a way that you let the person know that I don't want to hear anymore. How can you do this? You can practically say it, that I don't want to hear about the next person. If they wanted to say, they would have told us themselves. Or we can tell the person that I'm going to confront the person and confirm whatever it is that you said. And if they do ask where I found out, then I'm going to have to say so because I'm not prepared to lie. So in this way, we'll cut that chain off right there. The next is that we must ensure that we don't, if anything does reach us, we do not share that ourselves. So if it reached us in some way or the other, we didn't intend to receive it, now we should not be the another link in the chain to pass it on to someone else. Because if we pass it on, then we're just part of the chain, then we are part of those who are tail bearers, those who are gossiping, and then we too become a tool of shaitan. Another important aspect or important point is that if fitna, wrong, is going on so much around us, that if we oppose it, we are not going to be part of a certain clique. Then become comfortable with being alone. Become comfortable with being alone. And this too is a sign of Qiyamah, that a time will come when people will not feel safe with their iman unless they run from mountain to mountain and cave to cave, that they don't even remain within society of the fitnas, because of the corruption that takes place in societies. And now we see tail-bearing is such a corruption that people now who do not want to partake in this fitna, they are laid as outcasts. They are pushed out of certain cliques and circles. So if it takes one to be part of the sin in order to be in a certain clique, in order to be in a certain circle, then our advice to ourselves and to the viewers of Madini Channel, then rather become comfortable with being alone. Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat also gives us some very beautiful advices that are so holistic that cover us throughout our lives. And that is, adopt what is often called in the terminology of Dawat Islami, Qufle Madina upon the tongue. That means place a lock upon the tongue, not to speak unnecessarily. Because the one who speaks unnecessarily falls prey to the trick of shaitan in that person becoming a talebearer, that person telling lies in order to entertain people, in order just to speak, that person hurting other people's feelings just so that they can constantly speak. And so if one chooses that I will adopt silence, I will adopt silence, then you will be saved from lots of the sins of the tongue. Yes. Because the tongue is so dangerous. There are so many sins, including talebearing and gossiping, sharing the tea, spilling the tea, that comes from the tongue. And if one learns to control the tongue, one ensures that I will not speak unnecessarily, inshallah azza wa jal, you won't fall prey to this. There were great sulaha as well that used to take a stone and place it in their mouth and only remove it when it would be time to eat or time to perform salah or recite the Holy Quran. Why would they place a stone in their mouths? Because they never wanted to fall prey to these tricks of shaitan, when shaitan uses people's tongues to drag them towards the hellfire. And so, control of the ears by watching who you sit with, control of the tongue by ensuring that nothing is passed on that is bad, that may you might have received, don't be a link in passing it on. These are some very important tips in order to stop the habit, and I'm calling it a habit because people have thrived off this and it has become people's general lives. And sometimes to break the habit, even some difficult, tough, bitter pulls are needed, even if it means placing a stone in the mouth to ensure that. But then I'm not going to be able to speak. Well, if we're going to speak bad, then not being able to speak is better. Silence is better than bad speech, and good speech is better than silence.
Kya baat hai, mashallah, mashallah, subhanallah. I'm just thinking as you speak, ya Sayyidi, that if some people treated silence as gold, we'll have millionaires everywhere.
We hope, actually, because silence is a beautiful thing. Actually, Amir al-Sunnat says that there's a saying, ek chup so suk. Am I saying it
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, 100%,
yes, 100%. That subhanallah azza wa jal, within silence, really there is najat.
Yeah, but
there is najat means there is salvation within silence.
Subhanallah.
Silence is golden. We ever heard this saying in English? Silence is golden. Really, it is golden. Because when we speak, too many wrongs can happen. If we're going to speak, it should be good. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advice that whoever believes in Allah Azza wa Jal in the last day, that whoever believes in Allah Azza wa Jal in the last day, meaning a mu'min person, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُ
Allah.
That person should speak good or should remain silent. So even if it's not bad, but it's just useless, then it's not for us. We have limited time, limited breaths, limited words that we are going to speak. Yet we have to answer for anything that is bad and anything that is just useless. So if it's not good, then why say it?
Why say it? Subhanallah. And again, we can contemplate, we can reflect over the ayat of the Holy Quran, because the Quran came as a warner. The Quran is there to warn us.
Absolutely.
So that we could abstain from these, you know, tricks of shaitan. And the Quran has mentioned, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ So in the Quran, it is mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, our tongues, our hands and feet will testify against all the wrong that we have done, ya Sayyidi. Once again, dear viewers, Islam is there to guide us. Subhanallah. I'm not saying that we all are perfect. We all are imperfect. But the solutions to the problems are in our Islam. Somebody has done the problem. Somebody has caused the problem. Don't break ties with that person. No, there's no need to do that. Islam has taught you how to confront that person respectfully.
Yes.
Islam has taught us how to resolve the problem instead of harboring jealousy, malice and grudge in our hearts for the person, because at times that could not be the case what you are assuming right now in your mind. The third person came and added fuel and you trusted the wrong person. Thus, that person should be fearing that day in which he's going to return to Allah. I should be fearing, you should be fearing. We all should be fearing. In fact, let me tell you, there's a beautiful hadith, ya Sayyidi, narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by two graves. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned to his companions that both these grave dwellers are being tormented in the qabr. And they asked, Ya Rasulullah, and what is the reason behind this? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that one of them, actually the sin that they are being tormented for is not something so huge that they could have not avoided.
Mm-hmm.
It was something avoidable, but they chose not to do that. The first person that's being tormented is being tormented because he would not protect himself from the splashes of urine, whereas the second person was a talebearer. Allahu Akbar. Tale telling. He was a talebearer. He would cause and he would do this because of which they both are being tormented now in the qabr. And the one who gives us the knowledge of the unseen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah azza wa jalla, subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at how he guided the ummah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked for a branch to be brought. He divided that into two parts and he hoisted each one on each qabr. And subhanallah, he mentioned to his companions, for as long as it is green, it will continue glorifying Allah Azza wa Jalla, through the blessings of which the torment of the qabr will be reduced.
Subhanallah.
And this shows that we can put flowers on the qabr as well.
Yes, people, I've seen this as well. People place some flowers or some plants upon the qubur. So I guess this is the hikmah that they will, plants, as long as they are fresh and as long as these flowers are blooming or the plants are fresh, they will do the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this can be a means of these people's or the dwellers of the qabr, the adab being reduced, or rahmah upon them.
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. We say shukran, Mulana Sahib. Time is of the essence, and this has brought us right to the end of the program. All the Madani pearls that you have shared, may Allah Kareem grant us tawfiq to practice upon them, Ya Sayyidi.
Amen.
I think it's a very simple thing. All we have to do is, Ya Sayyidi, put our shame aside and confront. Shaitan would never want us to do that, because the solution for the problems are within confrontation. Many are times, right? If a person fears that the problem will escalate to another level altogether, then maybe, you know, seek advice from scholar. But clean your heart from any sort of malice or any sort of grudge for any person. Allahu Akbar. This is an eye-opener for each one of us, dear viewers. Every word we utter has power. It can heal or it can harm. Our tongues are like fire. If we use it wisely, they bring warmth and light. But if misused, they can burn down an entire home, dear viewers.
Allah.
So let's promise tonight, inshallah, azza wa jalla, that we are to be like water and not fuel, inshallah, azza wa jalla. We will bring calmness and not chaos, inshallah, azza wa jalla. We should fix ourselves. The world will fix itself, ya
Sayyidi.
If we can fix ourselves, the world will fix itself. Allah Azza wa Jalla will reform our hearts, inshallah, our homes, our ummah. And for a true change begins not in the crowd, but within the soul. Jihad. We should be looking at ourselves first. And if we can reform and rectify our sins, inshallah, azza wa jalla, everything will fall in order. And until next time, stay truthful, stay humble, and keep reforming the ummah. Inshallah, azza wa jalla. Sallu ala al-habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala
ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of ummah, ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.